Very warm welcome to you to our service of Holy Communion. Lovely to see you here. Welcome if you're watching online for this third Sunday of Advent. And in a moment we're going to light our Advent candles. Just a few notices quickly to give out. We're advertising for a youth minister and we're wanting you to pray about that, please, for us. Christmas at All Saints. Well, this afternoon there's a Christingle service at 4. Do join us if you'd like to. Next Sunday, Messy Christmas, happens after the morning service later in the day. And then we're here together on Christmas Day. Things at St Andrew's as well for you to have a quick look through. Particularly the reflective Christmas service at 11 o'clock at St Andrew's for those who find this season difficult. And then the next notice is to say there will be no morning service at St Andrew's on the 24th of September because they're going to come and join us here. And then the following Sunday there'll be no service here. We're all down at St Andrew's. That will be on the 31st. So we come to today's theme, joy, judgment and comfort. Oh, that's on Wednesday. Thank you very much, Paul. 7 o'clock here on Wednesday for the waiting room. Yes, thank you for that, Paul. Today's theme, then, is joy, judgment, and comfort. And we begin with Kathleen lighting three of our Advent candles as we journey towards Christmas. It's only a week away. Thank you. We lit the first candle to remind us of our certain hope, the second to confirm the peace the Lord brings to us. Now we've lit the third candle, knowing that Jesus gives us joy. So let's say these words together. Jesus gives us joy. We'll stand and affirm that. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Please be seated for our time of confession together, and we use all the responses in the white, please. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy upon those who fear him. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he set our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord merciful towards those who fear him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Our next carol, the words may be new to you, but the tune won't be. Let's stand. As we sit, we're going to say together in faith the words here in white. Together we say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain. For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite Diana now to come and share with us something about our prayer team ministry.
Thank you. First of all, just one or two questions. When is a good time to pray? What would you say to that? Any time, correct. And what can you pray about?
Anything.
That's not difficult either. And when is a good time to give thanks?
All the time,
any time. Excellent, you see. And we have a prayer team at the back of church. And the role of the prayer team is just to encourage you with these things. So what's the prayer team for? Is it, you can bring big concerns. You can bring little concerns. I had a friend who was a new Christian. She said, oh, I didn't know you could pray about little things. Well, most of life is made up of little things, is it not? So you can bring little things. There are times when I don't know what I want prayer for. And there are times I don't want to tell you what I want prayer for. And it's good you can come to the back and say, I would like a blessing. And if you want, you could say, I'd like a silent blessing. And then you sit there with the prayer team who just pray for you to God. God knows what you need. The only thing with a silent blessing is you have to say amen at the end so that you know when you've finished. We're talking about joy today. We're talking about comfort. We're talking about judgment. Don't we all need more joy? Don't we all need more comfort? I don't know about the judgment bit. I will have to wait and see. But the purpose of church, one of them, is to build us up. It's not just maintenance. It's somehow that we grow. And we used once to be in a church where they would preach, and then they'd say, right, anyone who wants more of whatever had been talked about, comfort, joy, come forward for prayer. And half the church would go for prayer. Why not? So let's use the prayer team a little more. You can say, I want prayer for this. This is a recap. Big things, little things. I'd like a blessing. And then you say, no, you don't have to say anything about what it is. Or I'd just like some silent prayer. And it's a great privilege, actually, to be able to be prayed for by somebody else. To me, it's a bit like watering seeds. You know, if you've got seeds and you've planted them, every now and then you have to give them more water to make them grow. So we've had a service which includes prayers. You look at the words of the hymns. You look at the sermon. Lord, I'd like that to grow in my life. And it's a help if someone else gives it a little water, which is the prayer team. I think that's enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diana. So the prayer team is always at the back. After communion, you can go straight to the back if you want to, or after the service. There will be people there who will come for communion first and then go to the back. We come now to our reading on our theme today, and the reading is from Zephaniah, and Keith is going to read to us.
I'm going to start the reading by just saying my line, which we usually say at the end. This is the word of the Lord. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, Do not let your hands go limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God speaks. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
If you want to know about joy, last week I went to visit Frank Chester in Hastings, and I have to say it was a really joyful hour that we spent together there. He really is a most amazing person. I think most of you who knew Frank will have signed the card for him, and later this week I will be taking him this card, and Jeff will be coming too, and we will give him Christmas communion. If you want to know more about that or you haven't signed the card yet, please see me afterwards. So much for joy. Joy and judgment. Hang on a minute. You don't often find that joy and judgment come together. However, let's just jump forward a week. In a week's time, it will be Christmas Eve. And if you happen to have a copy of this wonderful book called Common Worship, you can find the prayer for Christmas Eve. And you will see how it picks up both joy and judgment. So let's pray this prayer 1 week early. Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that, as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, so we may be with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Zephaniah certainly thought that you could put joy and judgment together. The collect sees joy and judgment, not because we're good, but because the case is closed and we have been found not guilty. But despite that, most of us think it's more a case of jeopardy and judgment, it's much more likely that we think, gosh, I feel really guilty about that. But Zephaniah is very positive that joy can follow judgment. After all, his name means God protects. Zephaniah, God protects. And as we heard in the reading, well, joy can follow judgment. We lit that third candle to know that joy follows judgment because of Jesus, because Jesus gives us joy. And there's Zephaniah, knowing that his name means God protects and that he will be protected. And what you heard in the reading, and at this point you may like to have your Bibles open, because I'm going to refer to other bits of Zephaniah. It's on page 944 if you've got a church Bible. And if you were looking at it in the Bible, you will realize that we were hearing a reading from the very end of the book of Zephaniah. And what did we hear? We heard in verse 15 that punishment is taken away. Come the judgment, punishment is taken away. And why again in verse 15? Because the Lord is with us. What could be more encouraging than that? And a recognition in verse 17 that God is mighty to save. It's not that he wants to take away our sin, but he can't, or that he'd like to be with us, but he's otherwise occupied. God is with us, and God is mighty to save. And when we get to verse 20 at the end of the reading, we learn that God will restore your fortunes. Zephaniah, of course, was talking about the fortunes of his people, Israel, Judah, to be exact. Now, just in case you aren't all totally familiar with Zephaniah, let me give you a bit of background on the life and times of dear old Zeph. He was living in Judah just towards the end of the time of the kings of Judah, before they were all taken off into exile. And so you can read the whole book. It's only 3.5 pages. You can sit down and read the whole thing this afternoon. And he starts off, Zephaniah starts off by telling us that he was the great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah. So I suppose that means that he was some sort of a prince. He was certainly nobility, minor royalty at the time of his life. Going back, he thinks it's important to go back to his great-great-grandfather, King Hezekiah. If you've read 1066 and all that, you'll know that they divided all the English kings into those who were a good thing and those who were a bad thing. If we did the same thing for the kings of Judah, we'd find that Hezekiah was a good thing. Hezekiah followed the Lord. He worshipped appropriately in the temple. And now his great-great-grandson is both a prince and a prophet. But sadly, Hezekiah was followed by Manasseh. And Manasseh reigned for quite a long time, and he was definitely a bad thing. And he was succeeded by his son Amon, who was also a bad thing. And by the time we get to the time of Zephaniah, those bad kings, who were really puppets of Assyria, which was the top nation at the time, the unbeatable top nation. And so they brought into the land of Judah Baal worship, injustice, corruption, oppression, idolatry, even child sacrifice. The times of those kings were not times of peace and justice. Then came Josiah, and Zeph was probably speaking towards the beginning of Josiah's reign. And Josiah brought in all sorts of reforms and turned out to be a good thing and encouraged the people of Israel to turn back to the Lord their God. So we may actually be dealing with a most unusual person in Zephaniah. He may well be a prophet who was actually listened to. The people actually, and particularly the king Josiah, actually heard what he was saying and did something about it. We might well ask, who are the prophets in England today? And are we hearing them? And are we doing something about it? There's a whole big question there for each and every one of us. Don't listen to the false prophets. Don't listen to those who are speaking on their own authority, but seek out those who speak with God's authority. So, what did this prince and prophet say? Well, it wasn't all joy and judgment. Most of it, in fact, was more like jeopardy and judgment. Most of the book looks a bit like that. And he puts it in apocalyptic terms. He says disaster is going to come, destruction is going to come. It's not quite like Noah. It's at least as bad as the time of Noah, but Zephaniah paints the new picture in terms of fire rather than flood. It is going to be tough. So, what does he say? Don't read this bit if you are squeamish, because he's quite blunt about it. And he says, the day of the Lord is coming. When we think about the day of the Lord, we tend to think about Jesus' return, and that too is coming and will come. Don't know quite what it'll look like, don't know when it will be, but we know it will come. Zephaniah was looking for a day of the Lord which he hoped would be much nearer, and which his people, his culture, his time, they were looking for a day of the Lord when the strength of the land of Judah would be restored. They would become the top nation. God would be with them. And the other nations would bow down before them. That was the day of the Lord, the immediate day of the Lord that he and his people were looking for. Well, it never quite happened. It hasn't happened yet. But perhaps one day it will. But some of the things that he said did happen. He was quite clear that the day of the Lord was coming. Everything was going to be destroyed. And why? He said, well, some of you in Judah are going to be destroyed because you are worshipping all sorts of other gods. You are thinking, well, we'll worship the gods of Egypt and the gods of Assyria, and well, we'll worship the God of Israel as well. He'll get his fair share. Unfortunately, our God does not want to share the worship with other gods. He wants to be God and God alone. And I just wonder if we sometimes try that. I'll worship everyone. God can have Sundays, but I'll worship my job, my money, my security on Mondays and Tuesdays. God wants us to worship him and him alone all the time. Well, that won't work. God wants and deserves everything. And that will become clear on the day of the Lord. And yet sometimes I think, well, basically I'm a good person. Yes, there may be a bit of lying here and a bit of cheating there. But by and large, I'm all right because I'm basically a good person. Not sure that God sees it that way. And it's not what Zephaniah saw. And it's not what the rest of the Bible says. You probably know Paul writing to the Romans, Romans 3:23. Paul says, we have all fallen short. And in our heart of hearts, we know that we have all fallen short when it comes to that day of judgment. And Zephaniah goes on and he says, yes, everything that's bad will be destroyed. Why? Because you're worshipping idols. What are the idols that we worship? But we needn't dwell on that too much, because if you turn back to a bit before we read Zephaniah chapter 2, and if you want a key verse from Zephaniah to highlight in your Bible, what about Zephaniah 2 verse 3? And Zephaniah's advice is, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. So he sees the Lord coming in judgment, and he says, don't get too worried about it. You humble, do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility, and you will be sheltered. Jesus came to give us that all-time sheltering on the day of the Lord. He goes on and he says, what's more, you are ignoring God. Are we? You oppress the poor. Are we? I don't want to get political, but are we actually living in a society where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Are we oppressing the poor today, just as Zephaniah said they were in his culture and in his day? And Zephaniah said, you are being arrogant. You really are not getting on top of this thing. You are arrogant and you're saying, I'm okay. And he says, you are corrupt. You are taking bribes. You are doing all sorts of wrong things. And the day of the Lord will come when you are not expecting it. And then he says, but. There's always a but. And for Zephaniah, the but was a good thing. Just before the beginning of our reading, we started reading at chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you had looked back a couple of verses to Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, just the two bits before the start of our reading, God's word through Zephaniah is this. But I will leave within you the meek and the humble. The remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. They will do no wrong. They will tell no lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Come that day of judgment. And I think we need to just make sure that we're part of that meek and humble remnant. We may be a minority in this country at the moment, but revival can come. God can move through this land. He can move through our authorities, our politicians, those Christians working in Westminster and in local government, those churches and ministers throughout the land, proclaiming this Christmas time that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus has come. And we can be encouraged to live lives that are honest and not telling lies, lives that will do the right thing and not the wrong thing, so that each one of us can eat and lie down and know that while God protects us, no one can make us afraid. So, there is joy with the judgment because of Jesus. If we're going to celebrate the baby born in a stable, let us remember that without Easter, we would not be celebrating the birth. But because of Easter, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, he is the King who will come back, and he is the one who will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Your sins are cleared. You are not guilty. The case is closed, not because of us, but because of him." And you know, there is a spiritual thirst in this country. It's just that people are seeking to drink in the wrong places. But let's make sure that we have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so that when we come back to Zephaniah's closing comments, we are able to rejoice for those who put Christ back into Christmas. There is the joy of sins forgiven and the judgment is announced for each of us. Let's be the well done, good and faithful servants.
We're going to turn straight to prayer now, and Joanne's going to lead us in some intercessions. So let's remain in a time of quiet as she comes.
Let us pray. As we look forward to Jesus' birth, we pray for all new life that will enter this world during the Christmas season. And so we pray for moms giving birth where there are no doctors, no midwives, and no hospital facilities. In areas of conflict, bombing, for those fleeing from fighting, who are constantly on the move and have nowhere to call home. For those in refugee camps around the world, Lord Jesus, we ask you to keep them and their babies safe, healthy and warm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our NHS midwives as they welcome new life into our world this Christmas. And we pray for student midwives and ask, Lord, that you will keep them focused on their training despite understaffing and long hours. We pray for those babies in neonatal units who are unable to go home this Christmas. We ask that you give compassion to the medical staff as they support parents at a very emotional time. And for those new parents whose babies have been transferred to another hospital for specialist treatment, sometimes miles away from where they are. And we pray, Lord, for those parents who have lost babies and find Christmas an emotional time to cope with. Please, Lord, bring comfort to them all. Lord Jesus, all new life is created and loved by you. They are your sons and daughters of our future, and we ask that you will bless and guide them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Jesus, we lift to you those we know who are going through hospital treatment and those waiting for further treatment. For those going through challenging times this Christmas. We ask, Jesus, that you are close to them, bringing your healing and peace into their lives at this time. And a prayer for ourselves, that in the busyness of this season, we do not lose sight of you, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we close by saying together the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please would you stand so that we may share the peace together. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us turn and greet one another with peace. Our communion hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee. Let's sing. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so together we say, Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Please sit or kneel. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. The crowds came out to see your Son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it to them, and said, "This is my blood, shed for you all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and with this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your Spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As usual, we'll be serving communion in two phases. In the first phase, those who wish to receive a wafer dipped in wine, would you please come forward first, also with the members of the prayer team. In the second phase, those who wish to receive a wafer and to share in the common cup, would you please come after. Gluten-free wafers and non-alcoholic wine are available on request. Together we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our closing hymn honours the name of Jesus, that majestic name above all names. Please stand. Thank you. Father, please will you accept our gifts as a token of our love for you and for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. So may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.